Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stand podcast, exclusively on podcast. We don't discuss any of this on YouTube. It's not repeated content. None of that UK gold shit on here. So let's fly straight into it. We will be taking questions from the members, of course. Remember, if you want to get questions asked on the United Stand podcast, all you got to do is become a member on the YouTube page, get on the community tab and leave your questions in there. But we're going to start off with Paul Pogba as well. Oh, also, just very, very quickly, I just want to give a shout out to at Barris AX God on Instagram, who has won a United Stand hoodie from last week's competition. We'll be announcing how you get into this week's competition in a few minutes, but let's start off on Paul Pogba. This is quite interesting. Robbie Van Persie speaking about Pogba, saying he's misunderstood, he's a world-class player, maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer needs to sit down and do a joint press conference with Paul Pogba. Well done, Robin Van Persie. This is something that we've mentioned on the United Stand collectively for quite a while now, that why has Paul Pogba not come out publicly and solved a lot of these problems? I think, to be fair to Solskjaer, he has tried to do it. He's always spoke respectfully of Pogba, and maybe at this point there's a little bit of frustration around it. Not in relation to how long it's taken to come back from his injury, but I think Mino Raiola opens his big mouth a lot and it muddies the waters. Raiola's, you know, he comes out and says things like, you know, my client wants to leave Manchester United, and drops a lot of hints about that. Then he backtracks and says, well, we'd be open to signing a new contract. Solskjaer's there saying when Paul's back, he'll be an asset to the club. And Pogba just keeps posting Instagram posts about him running in water and, you know, doing a few hoops. When I think Paul Pogba, obviously Mino Raiola speaks for Paul Pogba, so Manchester United fans have got every right, when Mino Raiola says that Pogba wants to leave United, United fans have got every right to say, well, Paul Pogba wants to leave United. Obviously, we back Solskjaer when Solskjaer says, look, when Pogba's back, he'll improve us. We all know that. But the grey area is the Paul Pogba area, where you have to assume that Mino Raiola is speaking for Paul Pogba and Paul Pogba wants to leave Manchester United. So I think when Van Persie says they should sit down and have a joint press conference, Pogba and Oli, to clarify his future, that would be the ideal. But, and as much as I applaud Van Persie for saying that, also there's a massive slice of naivety pie. And nobody likes naivety pie because it makes you look foolish. And the reality is that Paul Pogba is not saying anything publicly because Paul Pogba's keeping his options open. He has to try and keep the United fans on side, but ultimately he wants to leave Manchester United. And we must not forget this. We must not forget this, that Manchester United last summer forced Paul Pogba to stay when he openly wanted to go. So what has changed? What has changed? And this feeds quite nicely into, before I start taking some of your questions, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, if he is to be Manchester United manager in the summer, which some people think he won't, some people think he will. I think at this moment in time, it's an irrelevant point because we're winning games and decisions won't be made till May anyway. So you can believe he's going to go, you can believe he's going to stay. But let's just imagine he stays. He has got to wield the axe in the summer. You know, he has to do that because there are players that have got to go, and Paul Pogba falls into that category. And, you know, I saw the video that Xander did yesterday on the United Stand YouTube channel, Xander on the street speaking to fans outside Old Trafford. Do they want Pogba to go or stay? And I think the weight of opinion from United fans at the moment is that Paul Pogba needs to go. He does need to go. And I don't know what, I mean, maybe we could ask Ricky what he thinks about that. Well, Paul Pogba flex is fantastic, but Juan Mata's superb, and we don't need Paul Pogba. We don't need Paul Pogba. We need Juan Mata. Listen up. Juan Mata is 10 times the player that Paul Pogba is. He's won World Cups. So's Paul Pogba. I don't know what I'm talking about again. But Matic is the future, not Paul Pogba. Get Paul Pogba in. But no, seriously, Paul Pogba, you know, I sort of hesitate, and I don't normally hesitate on anything. Fantastic player, doesn't want to be here. Manchester United should sell him. That's my feeling on that. We had some talk at the weekend and a little bit yesterday that Paul Andres Pereira and Jesse Lingard are unlikely to be here. I think Jesse Lingard, Mino Raiola is going to be a busy guy this summer. Paul Pogba leaving United and Jesse Lingard leaving United. And hopefully that will be the end of Mino Raiola's involvement at United for a long time. I mean, I hope the rumours that Rashford's not going to link up with him are true, because it'd be nice not to have a Mino Raiola client at United. Pereira needs to go as well. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer probably needs to try and get Phil Jones out as well. So we could, hypothetically, just quickly before I start taking some questions, hypothetically, we could have a summer where we get Pogba out, Lingard out, Pereira out, Phil Jones out, and bring in a Grealish or a Maddison, maybe a Partey, and I'd be very happy with that, and obviously a Jadon Sancho, that would be great as well. Just quickly then, Sean Macca, we're going into the members part now, and now if you do want to get questions read out on the podcast is free, of course, a lot of you will be listening to it, iTunes, Deezer, Spotify, Shortify, whatever they're all called, free. But we do take our questions from the members on the United Stand YouTube page, and you can become a member on there just by clicking the join button. You get a little badge next to your name, you get access to the emojis, and you get access to the community tab, which only members can see on our YouTube homepage, where you can leave your questions in there. So Sean Macca, one of the members, says, where does the creativity come from if Bruno has a bad game? Good point. United probably can't solve that problem, Sean, till the summer, unless Paul Pogba gets back. Whatever happens, if Pogba comes back, it will share the load of creativity with Bruno. In fairness to Pogba last season, we saw it where if you swamp Pogba, we had no creativity. If you swamp Bruno, we've got no creativity. We go back to the, you know, if basically if people man mark Bruno, which they may look at doing over the next few weeks, then you go back to the United side without Bruno that struggles to create chances. However, if Pogba comes back, can you man mark two players? So Pogba will help Bruno, and then in the summer, if Pogba goes, you've got to bring somebody else in, like a Grealish or Maddison. We need depth in those positions, because Bruno gets injured, you're back playing Pereira, Mata and Lingard again, aren't you? So, you know, you go from a porn star to a virgin, don't you? Graham Robinson says, if we don't buy a right winger in the summer, who do you think is best suited to cover that position throughout next season? I think we have to, Graham. We have to sign a right winger, you know, we have to. That's the only few words I can do in Northern Irish. We have to sign a right winger. I think United are looking at Sancho. ZX obviously off the table now. So I feel that the rumours are United are at the head of the race to sign Jadon Sancho. But the race isn't over yet. So that's somewhat irrelevant. But I do feel that United are putting all their eggs into one basket, because if they don't get Jadon Sancho, where do you go? And as I have a sip of my peppermint tea there, I go to look at a live comments that's not there. So I have to solve this problem myself. Where do you go if you don't get Jadon Sancho on the right wing? It's difficult. I mean, a couple of years ago, I would have said Irving Lozano, Leon Bailey. ZX always been a consideration. There are players out there, but I feel that United are very much looking at Sancho. Can you talk about the Glazers shareholders meeting, says Danish Iqbal? Well, in a sentence, I don't really want to talk about it. It's the same old spin. Basically, it's all about social media interactions and money. And that's all it is with the shareholders meetings. So that's that. And Man United for Life 920 says, if Ollie gets Champions League, do you want him to stay or go? I think he will stay. And I think, to be honest with you, he should stay. It's always dangerous when you're talking about hypothetical, because what if we get Champions League football because everyone else is rubbish and we keep playing rubbish? In those circumstances, I'd probably be like, well, what's the point? But if we keep winning and we win it through playing good football, then, yeah, hypothetically, I would say yes. Gethin Hall says, can you honestly see United challenge a title with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in charge? No, I don't. I think that's the most honest answer you're going to get. And I think anybody who says that you can see... Look, anybody who says, even the most staunch Ole Gunnar Solskjaer we could get Jim Silverbridge in, he couldn't say that you can see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer winning a title at United. Because at the moment, the evidence is no. Of course it's not. I mean, I put that tweet out yesterday. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's first 10 games in charge of Manchester United, he took 26 points out of 30. That's title-winning form. I mean, Liverpool are probably taking 30 from 30, though. So even that might not be title-winning form. But then if you look at his next 10 games, he took 14 points, 11 points in the next 10 games, 16 points in the next 10 games. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not showing the form to be a title-winning manager. It doesn't mean that he can't do it, but at the moment, I'd be very confident that he can't do it. Jay Quinn says, in the next three seasons, where do you see United in terms of we'll be fighting for the title, who will be the manager, and who will be playing for us? Love the content, much love. Well, you're asking me to look into a crystal ball there, and I'm not Mystic Meg. So I would say that in three seasons' time, United could win a title, they could be mid-table. I mean, look, I can't believe that 2012 we were fighting for a title, and 2020 we've been nowhere near one since. So 3 years can go very, 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 very quickly, and you can start a season and know it's going to be a bad season. Like, I knew in October this season was not going to be great, and last season under Mourinho we knew in November that it wasn't going to be great. So you're almost looking to next August already. I don't see the structure and vision that United talk about. Going back to that shareholders meeting, Woodward's very adamant that there is a future vision. I don't see it. So at the moment, I can't predict where United are going to be in 3 years or what players we're going to have. I would hope that Bruno will still be here. I would hope that Rashford, Martial will be better players and they will still be here. And that some of the younger players like Greenwood and some signings will have come in and made us better. But ultimately, you can have as many good players as you want. If you don't have the right board and the right coaching, then you're going to struggle, aren't you? Southpaw Love Sports, I know it will be seen as propaganda, but on the United website, they released Ollie's top 10 goals for the club in honour of his birthday. I invite all to watch, because maybe you didn't get to see or have forgotten, but Ollie was a very, very good striker. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a legend of the club, Southpaw Love Sports. Happy birthday to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, legend of Manchester United Football Club, for being a striker. As a manager, the jury's out. He also says, I'd like to mention I began following and supporting United in 97 at the age of 9. I got to see all of Ollie's career and loved him. I'm heartbroken to be Ollie out. I don't want to be, but I have to put that aside and look at this objectively. I really wanted him to work out, and foolishly a small part of me still wants it to. I just don't think it will. Well, that's two great comments from Southpaw Love Sports there. Urging people to look at Solskjaer's top goals because what a legend he was as a player, but reality as a manager, massive, massive concerns. Clive Brunchilli says, I want Ollie out even if he wins the Europa League and finishes fourth, because he can't be trusted with his formation and he don't know what position to put his players in. Also, Dan James needs to play in the reserves and maybe the odd game he can play for the seniors. Harsh from Clive or fair? Clive, are you Rance in disguise? I mean, if he wins the Europa League and finishes fourth, he's got to stay, surely. And I do think that Dan James is better than the reserves. I mean, somebody said to me on the YouTube video last night, I like what you say, but you're too protective of Dan James. You go in on Lingard and Pereira and you protect Dan James. And I'm like, because I've got eyes. I see a potential in Dan James. And Dan James has only been here for like 8 months. Last year he was in the Championship. He lost his dad in the summer. And look, I don't rate Jesse Lingard, but when he came out in December about his mental health issues, I was very serious about that, because mental health issues are very serious and you do take it into account. And I do take into account that Dan James lost his dad just before signing for Manchester United. It's been a massive adjustment for a player to go from Swansea to Manchester United first team. And I think he's done good bits. I think he's been poor at times. I'd expect that from a young player in his first season. For me, Dan James is all about next season. And I think that going to the Euros with Wales, his first season at Manchester United, it can only stand him in good stead. It's about maturity and consistency with Dan James. And I think he will end up being a good player. Will he be a first team player, or will he be a player that's just decent off the bench for us? I don't know, but I do think he's got a future at Manchester United. Perry Srenner says, what are your priorities in the summer if Pogba leaves? Well, replacing Pogba. Bruno cannot be the replacement for Pogba. That would be really disappointing. So replacing Pogba, if we can all name names, Van der Beek, Grealish, Maddison, be happy with any of those, to be honest with you. I'd like to see a Thomas Partey come in, even though we're not linked to him. And I think a right winger of quality will improve us. So if we did get a Jadon Sancho, that would be good. Striker's interesting. I mean, I'd love Timo Werner. We'll have to wait and see. Can we discuss 3 to 5 pros and cons of bringing Poch next season, says Shisir Sandeep? 3 to 5 pros and cons. Well, all right, I'll try and do one each. So a pro of bringing Pochettino in is that he's Premier League proven and he has exceeded what he's done at every club he's been at. Southampton, and Spurs, he made them better than they were. So that's a pro. A con is that he's never won any trophies. A pro is that the style of football that he plays is pleasing on the eye. And a con is that he's a little bit slow in changing, making substitutions and tactical changes. He's quite stubborn. Another pro is that he operates in the transfer market very, very well. He's very good at promoting. That was going to be my fourth one. He's very good at signing players. He's got a very good track record of signing players at Southampton and Spurs. A con is that another pro, very good at developing youth talent. So that's four pros. And a fifth pro, he has got no attachment to the club, which I think would be a pro at the moment. I think attachments to the club can confuse fans, and I think we've shown a loyalty to Ollie that we would show Gary Neville, that we would show Ryan Giggs, that we would show Steve Bruce. And I don't think it's a good thing. I think Ollie's been in the job a lot longer than he would have been if he was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, ex-player of Bayern Munich. That would be a pro to me, that we don't have this, like Southpaw Love Sports was talking about there, this emotional attachment to somebody for a different reason other than their management performance. So, but the cons with Pochettino are basically the fact that he's never won a trophy, and that he is a little bit stubborn in his tactics and how long it takes him to change. They'd be the two ones, but, you know. Matt Baggett says, after the Watford game, I noticed how many of the players were saying Greenwood needs to grow up. Maybe it's just me, but I'm getting the impression that they are suggesting he's mentally young rather than physically. Seems to be a common thing amongst the players. Do you believe he may have a temperament problem? I didn't notice any of that about Mason Greenwood, Matt. So that's news to me. What I would say is that everybody is different. I look back at myself when I was 18. Very different to when I was 21. Very different to when I was 25. You mature through age. So expecting an 18-year-old to be behaving like Harry Maguire in his mid-20s, or Bruno, or Martial, you know, maybe. And also an 18-year-old living in a Manchester United bubble. I've met many footballers, and you wouldn't believe how socially naive they are in relation to the realities of life. They go into these clubs as kids. If they're talented, they're nurtured. They're not going down the shop to buy a pint of milk, really. They've got people doing it all for them. So very, very different, difficult world. Obviously, they're remunerated massively. They earn great money. But to expect an 18-year-old to be mature is why, you know. So maybe Mason Greenwood is a bit childish, but at the end of the day, he's pretty much a child, isn't he? So it's not just the footballing side you've got to nurture. You've got to nurture the adult as well and make them mature. So, I hadn't heard about any of that anyway. Aaron Christopher, the signing of Bruno as perceived risk taker seems to have paid off massively. Do you believe more should be done to introduce more risk takers into the team? Yes. Look, that was that rumour that was around last summer about Bruno, Aaron, wasn't it? Where United weren't interested in him because he takes too many risks. Well, the big problem with United before we got Bruno was that we don't take enough risks. We don't create enough chances. So, yeah, Bruno will give the ball away a lot. But as we've already seen, he'll make things happen a lot as well. So, yeah, Manchester United. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a manager doesn't take enough risks. This counter-attacking football is somewhat cowardly, I think. I don't like it. So if Bruno means more risks, then maybe it'll open his eyes to be a bit more of a risk-taker. Christopher N says, can you see Ollie being successful as a United manager if we bring in Sancho, for example, in the summer, considering how big a difference Bruno Fernandes has made to the side? It's interesting, that is, Christopher, because the line that's coming out this week, and it sort of started with my match reaction and now everyone's saying it, is that Solskjaer could be saved by Bruno Fernandes. And I genuinely think that can happen. But how much of it is, how can good players keep a bad manager in a job? To a point, yes. And I suppose this is the thing that worries me a little bit. If we do get top four because of Bruno and Pogba coming back, and if we then get Sancho and we do stay in the top four, is that not a dangerous thing for Manchester United to have good players but a coach that's not good enough? So that we're always top four, but we're never going to win a title. Whereas with these players and a good coach, maybe we can win a title. So that's the danger as well, isn't it? Maybe we do get top four and Ollie stays, and we do get Sancho and we remain in the top four. But will we ever get near a title with a coach that's not good enough? Or will the coach get better? It's all if, buts and maybes. But yeah, better players will give us a... You know, at the end of the day, if you give Eddie Howe, Bruno Fernandes and Jadon Sancho, Bournemouth will fly up the league, won't they? So it stands to reason that if you give Solskjaer Sancho and Bruno Fernandes, we will move up the league as well, because good players are good players, aren't they? And, you know, you drop Messi into a Rochdale team, he ain't going to win the Champions League for them, but he'll make them a better team. They'll hit their limitations, though, and that's the thing I'm talking about, is how far can good players take Manchester United? And I don't think, under the current coaching setup and the way we've played over the last year, if you give us Ronaldo, Neymar, Partey, everyone like that, I still think that we might not win the league, because Liverpool and City are coached well as well as having good players. We'd be top four, though. Havish Kumar Chakrari says, playing devil's advocate here, our goal as Man United is to be challenging for the Premier League title and the Champions League. Having said that, Ollie's tactics seem to work against the top teams. With a few more signings, we could start winning games against the lower teams that we are supposed to win. Would you take Ollie and his tactics if we just keep winning against all sorts of oppositions? I don't like the tactics, Havish. I don't like these tactics. I think they're negative. I want to see us going back to a more attacking style of football. If he does that, he will start to win people over. Talking about winning, just a little bit of a reminder. We did have our first winner of the podcast giveaway, which we're going to do every week. A hoodie was won last week. You can win yourself a United Stand limited edition T-shirt this week. And to do that, all you've got to do, very, very easy, is pop on, if you're on iTunes or if you're on any other ones, any other podcast platforms where you can leave a review, just leave us a review on the podcast. If you check out the iTunes reviews on there, you'll see that a few people gave us a review last week. When you've left your review, if you can just leave your Instagram or your Twitter social media name, and we will drop you a message, which is what we did with the winner last week. And as I shouted them out before, it's at Baris AX God on Instagram. So they left us a review on iTunes for the podcast, and we contacted them and they won the hoodie. So well done to them. Very easy. Everyone can enter this. You don't have to be a member for it. You can just leave your review on the podcast, and we will pick a winner for next week as well. So you could be contacted by us early next week. Do you think Ollie's situation is similar to Lampard's, as Dominic Ashton, where in that with them managing smaller clubs, they don't know how to keep consistency when pushing for a top four title? I think I've seen quite a bit of Chelsea. I think Chelsea, their inconsistency has been because they're an inexperienced team with a lot of young players, and Lampard's probably a little bit inexperienced himself. I think Chelsea are on a trajectory up. With Manchester United, I think we have got experienced players. We've just underperformed this season. So I don't think there are similarities. You know, they've had Tammy Abraham running the line. He was a championship striker last year. They've had Mason Mount, who was also in the championship last year, playing in behind him. So it's a very, very big difference between what... And also, Chelsea try and play a brand of football that's going to take a bit of time, but it's attacking, isn't it? Ewan McGuire says, who do you think Poch would bring in if we got him as manager? He'd be very happy with Bruno Fernandes. I think he'd like to bring Harry Kane, but that will never happen. I don't know. I mean, I don't... Look, if we don't get top four, would I have Pochettino? Yes. If we get top four, I'd probably stick with Solskjaer. So I'm sort of like, it's a hypothetical again, isn't it, for me with Pochettino? But he wanted Dybala in the summer, so maybe they'd go back there. I don't know. Sean Miller, would you be willing to watch United fall further down the mountain for one more season if it was guaranteed the Glazers and Woodward would be gone at the end? Or would you rather watch a couple more years of this false vision in hope that it eventually works itself out? That is a really good hypothetical question, Sean, to be honest with you. So if you're telling me that we've got to finish eighth next season, but the Glazers will be gone a year in May, I'd probably say yeah. I probably would. I want to know who's going to take over, because better the devil you know, you might end up with somebody who's not as good. Grass isn't always greener, is it? But if you're telling me that we've just got to have one more season of this crap for a new owner to come in that's going to invest the money that we've got in the club, then I would take it. Short-term pain, long-term gain, 100%. And anybody who says differently, I don't know why you would do that. We're not talking about Solskjaer here. We're not talking about players. We're talking about the ownership. This ownership has took £1 billion out of the club since they took over. They are a business people. So if you're telling me we can have one more year of crap under United and under the Glazers, and then in a year's time they're definitely gone and we get new owners who want to spend money, I would do it. I would take that year. A year can go very quickly. Bloody hell, we've had six of it, haven't we? Gaming TGC. With the comments Edward Wood made regarding Ollie is the man to take us forward, do you believe if we signed some better players we would challenge for big trophies? Well, we sort of covered that one, haven't we? I think better players will make us better, but I don't think better players will take us to a title under the current coaching that we have at the moment. There would need to be improvement there. Kaz says, can you talk about the current state of the stadium? The press seem to think it's in dire need of an update, but are there any structural surveys backing this up, or is it because it doesn't have a microbrewery? I think Old Trafford is tired, and we've had the things like the leak and everything like that, and I think if you compare... The reality is Old Trafford's an old stadium. Goodison Park's an old stadium. Anfield's an old stadium. You can renovate, you can change it, you can knock things down, you can build over it. Manchester United needs investment into the stadium. It's not... We don't need a new stadium. We need infrastructure in that stadium. So money does need to be spent on it. It can't just be left how it is. But it's the Glazers don't want to spend money on the stadium because that's what a football club does. It's not what a bank does. The Glazers want money out of the club and they will spend on things that are relevant. Bruno Fernandes makes us better on the pitch, which makes us a little bit more money. Spending money on the stadium, it's a lick of paint, isn't it? They don't want to do that, it appears. Could you see Ollie moving to a different role to possibly help develop strikers and the club bringing in Poch or Allegri and getting rid of Carrick and Phelan, says Wesley Gomez. You do hear rumours about Manchester United looking to keep Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the role. I would hate him to be director of football. I really have to say this again and again and again. A lot of people say, give him more time. Look at his signings. They've been really good. Like, you could make those signings. Like, £80 million on Harry Maguire. It's not a bargain, is it? It's an obvious signing. £50 million on Wan-Bissaka. Another obvious signing. There's no technical scouting involved in that. It's obvious. And they're good signings, but they're obvious signings. Dan James, look, a lot of people don't think he's good enough anyway. But I think Dan James was a decent signing for £15 million. Bruno Fernandes, another obvious signing. Everybody was talking about Bruno Fernandes before United even bothered to try and sign him. So I don't see how you'd give Solskjaer the director of football job because I don't think he's shown enough knowledge to be a director of football. So I just think if you're not United manager anymore, you shouldn't be at United. I think you move on. And I think Ollie would want to move on. Jordan Church says... I hate to bring this up, but if Liverpool won both Premier League and Champions League this season, should qualifying for the Champions League next season be enough to keep Ollie in a job, even though it is highly likely it will? I tell you what, Jordan, what I would say here is, having watched the Chelsea game against Bayern Munich and seen Spurs get smashed by Bayern Munich, I think like the obsession to get Champions League football and... Is it not flawed in a way to say if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer gets Champions League football, he should stay? When you get Champions League football, then you get knocked out in the first knockout round. It's like there is a monetary value and there is a status value to the Champions League. But ultimately, are you not just becoming Arsenal of the last decade under Wenger, where they would always finish fourth, get in the Champions League, then get beat in the first knockout stage, and the cycle continues? We are obsessed with finishing in the Champions League spots because it's a status thing. But ultimately, I'm not saying it's not worth it, but if you've got zero chance of winning it and you're miles behind everybody else, you know, I just think the obsession with top four is somewhat flawed if you're just going to be a team. I mean, look, how weird is it that Spurs are trying to get top four this season but are in the Champions League already and put up a white flag against RB Leipzig and they're going out? And Chelsea, who are fighting for fourth again, have just got to the first knockout stage of the Champions League and been battered by Bayern Munich, yet they're obsessed with fourth place again. It's contradictory in a way, I think. But there is this obsession. There's been an obsession with the top four ever since top four gave you Champions League football. But yeah, I agree with Jordan. We need to be focusing on closing gaps. And look, I want United to be in European football because it's just interesting. But somebody said this to me a few weeks ago. You know, I'd rather we weren't in the Europa League or the Champions League next year and we just played one game a week and actually spent the week coaching and training and you know, get top four. And then the next season, you know, we might be a better coach side. It's very obvious that United don't have time to do any coaching because we play so many games and we desperately need coaching, which is interesting, isn't it? Do you think with the right signings in the summer... No, I've done that one easy money, I'm afraid, but you can have a shout out. Carl Watkins, why are some fans still wanting Pogba back? He clearly doesn't want to stay. And Cameron Shanks, with Pogba saying he is open to stay, would Grealish get into a United side or would our big summer transfer target be a bench player? I think if Paul Pogba signs a new contract for Manchester United, you can say goodbye to Grealish or Maddison or Van der Beek. We won't be signing a midfielder if Pogba stays. So that would be the end of that. We would probably try and get Sancho and that would probably be it. Can you see Manchester United going after Jimenez, says William Dominguez? And if we did get him, what formation would you use with him? I would love to see Raul Jimenez at Manchester United. I think he would give us something else. Would he be a starter over Martial? I don't know, but he would give us some variety. So whether United are going to go for it, I don't know. I really don't know. Look, anyway, that is the podcast. Very, very quick whiz through your questions. Thanks for all the members who did leave questions in there. Some of you didn't get shout outs because they were quite similar questions to what we've already answered. So thanks, everybody, for that. A lot of people talking about the stadium, keeping Ollie if we get top four, Pogba, who would get rid of the summer, Deadwood, etc. But some of the shout outs for Tor Jorgensen, Magic Eye, Gooberface, Adam Keener, Sartak Doob. Get your comments in there for next week in the moderate on the community tab on YouTube if you are a member. Remember, you can join and become a member on the YouTube channel. Just go on the channel and click join. And don't forget what I said as well. If you want to try and win a prize, give us a review on the podcast anyway, whatever platform you're on. If you can 5-star it or leave us a review, that would be great. And if you want to be entered for the competition, we'll contact you early next week if you're the winner. Just after you've left your review, just put your Instagram or your Twitter name on there and we'll contact you. Thanks everyone for watching. Loving doing the podcast, exclusive on here, of course. You'll hear me next week, but you can catch me on YouTube as usual. Leave us a review, like I say, and if you want to leave questions, get a member on the YouTube. Thanks for watching. Speak to you next week.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,